I wished I could always announce that I was going to be preaching, but sometimes I'm not even sure I have when I finished. It's great. Great night, great service, great young folks. It's been a good meeting, and I've enjoyed being out here, me and my sweetheart. We head back to Missouri. Normally, we get up pretty early in the morning and head back. My wife has been driving quite a bit here lately out here. She gets real car sick on these roads out here, in particular these roads. And when you drive, it don't seem like it bothers her. But when she's riding over there, you know, co-pilot to the jet, she seems like she's all the time looking for something to hold on to. And two or three times we've pulled in here, and I've noticed that she matched her outfit, not just the clothes, but her face was kind of green around the edges. And not wanting her to throw up or regurgitate or any other of those terms there inside the vehicle, I let her drive. But I want to remind you what happened in the scriptures in another place where the Bible said we let her drive. The ship. We let her drive, and she broke apart, sunk the boat, okay? Okay, so you all know my anxiety when I am letting her drive. All right. I appreciate you all. I appreciate the offering. Appreciate the food. Man, I tell you today, that you just kept eating into that little deal there and finding all kinds of treasures. I kind of felt like it might be a little bit Cracker Jacks. If I keep going through them potatoes, I'm probably going to find a treasure right there someplace in the middle. It was wonderful, and the meals and the fellowship has been great, and where we've been staying has been wonderful. Brother Webb has put us in a real nice motel and nice big room, had a little couch in there, yeah, and a little table, and had a little desk in there, and basically it's been a wonderful stay. We have had to endure most of the. It has been just a little bit of a, you know, you had to get used to your surroundings. You know what this is? This is eight guys on the roof putting one on all week long in the motel where we've been. We're on the second floor. I think two nails come through the ceiling right there while I was. But it has. We have really enjoyed our time here, and we've really rested, and we've been able to get our minds on the things of God. Yeah. So, anyway. It has been, and just for you all that's worrying about it, they finished today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes. Next time you see us in this area, Lord willing, we'll be blowing over to rich land, seeing if we can split that church down the middle. And just seeing what we can do. Brother Horton so graciously tossed me into the day services. And this coming year over at Rich Lands, instead of walking in every night feeling like that the weight of the machinery is on my shoulders, I'll be walking in of a morning. And I'll be able to take my Wednesday night messages. Messages where I talk about husbands and wives. And messages where I talk about your character. And messages where I jump into different parts of people's lives. And I talk about things. They're not really evangelistic things for the night services. There are other things that you deal with. And a couple more of the camps I got this year, I get to be the day speaker. And that's why I love the day slot. I just love the day slot. I just love it. I mean, you get up, you drink a cup of coffee, you go to the pulpit, and then you have all afternoon to take a bath, get ready for church that night. Unless you happen to be someplace where you... I tell you, it almost just, you know, it almost puts the spirit of shopping on you. You want to go to Walmart? Their roof's okay. You want to go? So anyway, I appreciate the offering and the food. And I know that they didn't give Brother Randy that motel. I know they didn't. And I, boy, hallelujah. And I do appreciate that. Me and my sweetheart, and we just, she wasn't able to come with me last year, and I'm glad that she's here this year. And we're going to get back home sometime tomorrow. And Sunday morning's going to dawn bright and fair. And I've give the entire weekend to my youth pastors and to my young people's leaders and to those that have a burden for children. And all Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's going to just be catered. I don't even know what they're going to do. All I know is they're going to do it without me, but I'm going to be right there enjoying every bit of it and letting our children. You know, sometimes these kiddos come to these camp meetings, and they don't know the book of Revelation from the book of Genesis, nor do they care. Sometimes if you don't take a message and gear that and cater that message to those particular age groups, we get all flustered if a pastor books a children's crusade because you miss a Wednesday night service that you wasn't going to be here nowhere, and you forget that these kids sit through your meetings. Now that you be still now, you be still now, be still now, and you know, and so it wouldn't hurt you to sit through a youth meeting some night. It won't hurt you, you know, but I really appreciate young folks. I enjoy doing youth camps. I tell you, I just had the best time doing youth camps and just, you know, but I outgrew them. And now then, I'm still on a youth camp board, but the only reason they got me is because I stay up all night. I watch and pray, but I don't even do that. I just watch and watch at our youth camp back home. But I want to read something to you tonight. I don't plan to be here all night, but I got something I want to read to you. It's in the book of Revelation. You can jump over there if you want to. And just a little something here. Boy, I tell you, there is a fine line. I listened to a Brother Barnett this week as he preached on spiritual temptations, and I don't know if that message catered more to the people that was sitting in the congregations, or if it was a wake up call for some of us ministers that recognized that sometimes, even if there ain't nothing wrong with it, it ain't right, and even though it may not be considered sin, it's still not an ethical move. And I listened to that, and I took notice of that. I laid that message on that fine line. And then today, Brother Gabbard, he got up here, and about every time he lays a line, it's straight as an arrow. And he threw that line right down through there, and I recognized that not only are there spiritual temptations, but this world is one giant temptation. And really and truthfully, it all comes down to being balanced. Now you got to get that. It all comes down to being balanced. When I first started having something to do with the police department there in West Plains, I found myself being drawn into a little tornado of excitement. I mean, there was a little more happening riding around in that patrol car than there was sitting there reading the Evening Quill. It's our newspaper. It's 3 or 4 pages long, counting the ads and all the rest of the stuff. And somebody's advertising a Volkswagen Rail, R-A-I-L. I don't even know what that is, but I wished you'd buy it because it's in the paper every week, but never mind. But wait, I got drawn into that. God, when you get the quill, you read everything, thank you. And I don't even like yard sales. But listen, you get in this little vortex of a thing, and I found myself being drawn to the point where even the police chief just felt like it was okay to call during church and tell me I was needed and why wasn't I down there when he called and what, you understand? And so then I started leaning the other direction, and now I've almost leaned to the point where I don't hardly even go down to the police department like I ought to, and when they see me, they ask me, where you been? What are you doing? Why don't you come in anymore? Why don't you come see it? It's a balance. It's a balance. And I tell you, I know my main man there has been off duty for a while, and I know that when he goes back up on duty, there is just a certain amount of pressure that comes with life. And if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we will not be able to balance the Bible and the badge. If you're not careful, you won't be able to balance the Bible and the badge. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 10. And in Revelation chapter 10, I want to make all of us aware of something. This is what it says, Revelation chapter 10, verse number 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Now, I'm telling you, that might look like a pretty easy trick if you're in a vision state of mind and you are on an island all out there by yourself and you are suffering for the cause of Christ and he is allowing the spirit of the Lord's day and the rest of those days to all run into one gigantic revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may not look too hard for a person to grab quill and pen and write it along the parchment of whatever you was able to get with you on the Isle of Patmos and say, I had this visionary, I had this experience where I saw this mighty angel, and this mighty angel came down, and what I saw was in his hand, he had there a little open book, and he said he's right, and you know, that little open book, that has always intrigued me, but it hasn't intrigued me as much as the rest of that that said he put one foot on the sea and he put one foot on the earth. And I think that just for the next few minutes, and I really don't plan to hold you until the sun comes up in the morning, but I do want to tell every man in this house, and I want to preach to every wife and woman in this house, and I want to preach to every teenager who has never had your first job, or this is the first summer that you're going to have your first job. You've never fried a hamburger. You've never caught a chicken for Colonel Sanders. You've never pulled the liver out of the thing and fried it and sold it to somebody who needed his head examined. Now, I want to talk to everybody in this little house. I love gizzards, but I'm going to talk to everybody in this house tonight, and I want to tell you, if the angel can put one foot on the sea and one foot on the land and live a balanced life, you can too. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No, I can. Yes, you can. You can be a Christian and you can be a Republican. You like that? Huh? You like that? And all you Democrats, remember, I still have my badge. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Pray, wife, get ready to start anything out there with gas in it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There is a picture that was presented right there in the book of Revelation. A picture. I mean, you talk about it out of all the graphic images in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. I took a hitch for a while preaching at Calvary about the book of Revelation, and after you skipped and tiptoed through the churches that everybody preaches on from time to time, then you enter into chapter number 4 where you start talking about things that are so far out there and are so big and unimaginable that even in your preaching that you can't hardly draw a vivid enough picture. But I was preaching through the book of Revelation And one evening I got a telephone call from one of my young men's wives in the church with children. And she said, "Brother Hyde, are you gonna preach on Revelation again tonight?" And I said, I was really considering it, thinking about it. I really was. And she said, "If I don't bring," and she named her little child, "to church tonight, would it offend you?" And I said, "No. Is she sick?" And she said, "No, she's scared." She said, "You paint such a vivid picture of these creatures and these things that are going to come upon all the earth. And you paint such a picture of the trumpets and the vials and the opening of the book and the seals. You paint such a picture." She's having nightmares when she gets back home. And I said to myself, I wish the adults was having nightmares about it. I wish they were listening and paying attention as much as the children were paying attention. And you know what I did? I quit preaching on it. Don't look at me like that. I let the hammer up off the accelerator. Because I'm telling you, there's a balance in life. And someplace in everyone, we don't need to tip the scales in either direction. And I don't want our children to grow up afraid of the house of God. And I don't want our moms and dads growing up without a fear of the house of God. There's a balance in there someplace. And we've got to have that. And if you are raising your little boy to know more about baseball than he does the Bible, you, sir, are doing your family a detriment to their growing up. If you stand out in the backyard and throw that football and teach that kid how to throw a football, and he don't have the slightest idea what the Ten Commandments are all about, you are not balanced in the spiritual training of your family. Actually, I probably should have saved this for the day service over at the tabernacle, because I'm telling you, there are character flaws in a lot of our lives, and it all stems from the fact and we don't know how to put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. We don't know how to be balanced. We don't do it. Husbands, who wrap themselves in their travel trailer and wrap themselves around the book, wrap themselves around their libraries until in revivals. My wife would go to bed of a night, and sometimes it'd be 3 or 4 in the morning before I'd slip up there into the bedroom area of our fifth wheel and live days that we traveled up and down the interstate, driving by points of interest, things that people leave home for a week to go see. There, me and my wife, I'm telling you, one day I was gassing up at a gas station in Bedford, Indiana, and I pulled in there, and a guy was out there gassing up something, and he said, "Boy, you're awful young to have retired. It must be nice to be on a vacation all your life." And I didn't jump into the conversation then. I didn't know, but actually, I didn't see myself as a AAA Advantage driver. I saw myself as a warrior and as a soldier that was going place to place, battlefield to battlefield. But while I was fighting those battles, I was missing other areas of our marriage and of our life. And I'm telling you, I recognize now that there is a balance to the way we live. I don't know that they've ever, and I don't know if I've ever had to give a refund of an offering, but I have that refund feeling coming on tonight. Just remember what you put in. Just take back out what you put in. Listen, I'm telling you that there's something about the balance of this mighty angel. And if we're going to have the stable standing in life that God demands for us to have, you're going to have to learn how to balance everything. You're going to have to learn it. Not just balance your checkbook. Not just balance the amount of water in your swimming pool in the backyard. Not just balance the amount of air in the four tires on your vehicle. Not just balance the full mark on your gas tank. But you're going to have to learn how to balance these other things in life. The spiritual times and the spiritual things. And I tell you what it all boils down to. Sometimes in life, we're so busy worrying about the land that the physical side and the spiritual side of the sea gets pushed off to the side. And if anything takes a hit anymore, you'll quit paying your tithes first. You'll quit giving any offering first. You'll go ahead and take care of your taxes, and you'll buy gas, and you'll see to it that the children have enough money to buy the DVD that they've been wanting all their life. But I'm telling you, there is a balance. And if you're going to learn how to stand in this life, you're going to have to learn how to be stable. Put one foot in the world and one foot in heaven and stand there. Do you really know the birth date of your coon hounds and can't remember the anniversary date of your wedding? Can you really remember how many miles that you've got on your car and that it needs an oil change? And you can't remember that you promised your wife you'd be home early enough to take her someplace that she was wanting to go? Is this just oil or is anything else in your mind? Oh God. I'm telling you. Do we really only come to church when we know they're going to be eaten afterwards? Don't sit there and look dumb at me. Nod your head up and down or I'll think you're wearing contact lenses. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've got some individuals that they call me only to find out, Brother Hyatt, we're going to be eating a little bit after church. We're going to be eating a little bit after church. I tell you, I don't think some of them people eat a meal until we have one there at the church. And really and truthfully, now I know why the Methodist church in town is starting to serve meals. You get a bigger crowd when you promise people food. But I'm telling you, there's something about being balanced in God. The same people who'll eat themselves sick into a high blood pressure attack, they've never fasted a day in their life and allowed themselves to stand on the spiritual side of the equation. You've got to be balanced. Had people walk up to me and hand me a wad of money in my hand, and I knew that they were holding their tithes out on their pastor. I knew they were. And I tell you what I do. I go straight to the pastor. I've been a tattletale all my life. I go straight to the pastor, and I'll say, you know that big tall guy in the back of the church who looks like a 2x4 that's been nailed to a 4x2? He just handed me this wad of money, and I want you to know how much it is and what he gave me. And I'm telling you, if that pastor said, that's probably my tithes, I'm going to hand it off to the man of God right there on the spot. Because I'm telling you, life is about being balanced. It's about being right on the inside and about being right on the outside. It's an amazing thing to me that we hide behind long sleeve white shirts and inside we've got a volcano of lust and corruption. It's amazing to me how there are people in this world. I'm telling you, every now and then at Calvary, we've not had him there for a while, but there's a chiropractor in town named Dr. W-I-E-H or H-E-I or W-E-E. I don't know how you spell it. His name is Dr. Wee. He's an Assembly God guy. He'll come to our church. And one night we had, you remember his name? The big guy down in Alabama now. Help me with it. He writes songs. His girls are good singers. Yeah. Rick Simpson. My next My next clue, you don't want to know what my next clue was going to be. Rick Simpson was there at our church preaching one night about the home and about the family. And Dr. Weed was sitting there just bawling and squalling. And I said to myself, got him now. Got him now. I mean, he takes communion in every service. I mean, at his house, every meal with real wine. And I got him now. Man, I got him now. He's just a crying. And Rick gave the altar call. And we all were down around the altar. And I was praying with all the men that was snotting. And just tears. I mean, just having a great time. And the next thing I know, Dr. Wee, he plays a hern. I think he's from New York by way of Canada. He plays a hern. That's a trumpet to him, but it's a hern. He walked up on the platform just a crying. He turned around, and I'm telling you, I went into panic mode. Panic. You hear me? I went into panic mode because I'm a guardian. About the pulpit. And number two, you never know what Dr. Wee's going to do or say. He walked up there and he picked up that horn and he said, the Lord has moved on me to play this song and I believe it's fitting and we hope everybody in the church is blessed. And I'm standing down there with my eyes bugged out and my mouth open wide, just hoping that he doesn't play some Elvis Presley song. And he goes to playing. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Now, I may not be nothing but a hound dog. But I'm going to tell you, I was having a hard time being balanced that night. Because I was wanting to help them folks that was a-crying. And I was wanting to choke the snot out of the barbershop quartet. Are you listening? I tell you, there's a balance in life. Yeah, you notice how we're laughing. Look over at somebody sitting beside. They're grinning. You didn't know they could do that, could you? Yeah, and they're in the house of God. You don't have to be a dill pickle to be a child of God. You don't have to walk into the house of God and flex your spiritual muscles and act like that if you smile, it'll break your face. It ain't gonna break your face. That's just part of being a human. God wants us to be balanced. Okay. Our court world is shaking. Our industries are shaking. The media is shaking. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Israel, Egypt, Yemen. I can just keep going down the list. Is shaking. Washington is shaking. Senator John Edwards is shaking. We've got a shaking going on. You hear me? And in the middle of that shaking, if you don't have a good balance, you'll lose everything. You'll fall in with the wrong crowd. I did not lose 1 minute sleep when Jimmy Swaggart fell off the scene. You know why? I was balanced. You hear me? I was balanced. And although I hated it tragically when the mind of Brother L.D. Moore got to the place where he couldn't think like he'd like to think, and now he is battling those throes of dementia, I'm telling you, I didn't know if the holiness movement could make it without L.D. Moore at our camp meetings, but we have. And the reason that we have is we've tried to allow ourselves to stay balanced. I thought there would always be an L.L. Collins, but he's in a wheelchair battling a stroke, but I can stay balanced. You don't have to depend upon everybody else if you'll get balanced. Oh, listen, for the people who think that everything is making money, paying your debts, building homes, having good insurance, seeing to it that the school functions are the highlight of your children's lives, those, obligations can only be met by sensible human beings, or we'll tip the scales and we'll think that's everything, and we'll not think one thing about the house of God, Sunday school, the glory of God, the power of God. I'm telling you, if there's a man in here or a woman who'd rather your little daughter be a cheerleader than he had to be in this youth choir up here on this platform, you ain't any more balanced than a top that's forgot how to spin. There is a balance to our lives. And if you don't live that balance, you're going to fall one way or the other. Now listen, listen, that mighty angel put one foot on the land. And really, I don't know if you've ever read much from some of the secular writers and spiritual writers, but Bernard Shaw, he said that there's two great tragedies in life. And if you guys don't get this, you're going to miss this message. There's two great tragedies in life. One of them is not getting your heart's desire. And the other tragedy is getting your heart's desire. Those tragedies right there. A person who doesn't care and a person who cares too much. You can't have a balanced life if you don't have yourself centered in the glory of God, trying to follow faithfully after what the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you right here, me and my wife was discussing it coming to church tonight when I was wanting to make sure that she was awake and paying attention. We discussed it. She said, you have to watch her. Sometimes she's dangerous. She said, there's enough things in the Bible to do now that we don't need to add a bunch of things to do that ain't even in there. And yet that is the call of the cults. That's the call of the cults. That's how the fundamental Mormons, that breakaway group of the Latter-day Saints, where the men have 20 or 30 wives. I'm telling you, they should read the Bible. Find out that Solomon couldn't handle it. Why do they think they're any smarter? But they are God in the house, and they dictate the life. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, there's a fine line with believing with such force about the things of God that you lose contact with the world that you're living in. You've got to stay balanced, or either side of the equation will sink you. Oh, my. You're either not getting this, or you are getting this. But I'm fixing to tell you, right here, right now, when I first entered independent Pentecost and independent holiness, the first rattle out of the box I had to go through was my neckties that I wore. As even before there was a Patricia, I had to go through it. I wore ties. My pastor wore a tie. He always wore a white shirt. That's just the way I grew up. I was raised. And I had individuals pull me off to the side and tell me some of the areas that I could be effective in if I just wouldn't wear a tie. Okay, fine. I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. And I thank you for that advice. I'm not being contrary. And I'm not being hard. I just ain't gonna do it. I'm just gonna go right ahead and do what I've been doing and try to, are you listening? Are you listening? The second thing I had to hurdle was CB radios. Yeah, you remember them? Breaker 19. Remember them? Any of you all have? I pulled into one church, and the pastor walked out and said, if we don't get them devil tails off your truck, we ain't ever going to have a revival. What in the world? What in the world is he talking about? Devil tails. I thought I'd hit something out on the interstate. Turn around there. Are you talking about that CB radio? Yeah, he said. You guys are filthy on there. I turn it on when I'm lost. I use it when I need it. I turn the thing off when I don't. Well, it's wrong. I'm telling you, I'd love to watch that guy talk about the internet right now. I'd love to watch him figure that one out. I'm telling you, CB Radio up against the internet is a revival on the old campground. I'm telling you, if you don't have a balance in your life, you will not be able to make it. But boy, it's on me right now to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's on me, though. And after church, you can ask me what I was thinking about saying. And then I'll pick you up off the floor. I don't want to have to do it right now. I'm telling you, there's a balance. No wonder our young folks look at us like we're crazy. No wonder they look at us like we haven't got any sense. No wonder they look at us like we just come out of some Looney Tune factory. I'm telling you, there's got to be that balance. We've got to learn how to let God lead us and guide us and not just be a good church member, but be a good member of society at the same time. I don't know how many men in the police department had to come up to me and ask me if I'd married them and their wives before they caught on to the fact that I don't marry people that's going to be throwing themselves into adultery. I don't marry them. And I'm telling you, I would take those firm stance and those guys would look at me and shake their head. One of the guys turned around and heard him when he walked off. I don't understand you, preacher. I don't understand you, preacher. I tell you what I did. The next time I heard that guy was having physical troubles, I was coming to his hospital room. I walked up to the edge of his bed, and I prayed for him just like I'd prayed for you. You know why? Because I wanted him to understand me. I wanted him to, I ain't a hot ball. I ain't some kind of cook. I'm trying to stay balanced. Balanced. You hear me? Balanced. Well, I ain't going to have anything. That night that Leon Buzzard was preaching that revival and that prostitute came into the house of God and left her seat and come down and prayed in that holiness. Hold it. In that altar. Hold it. At that chunk of wood with two sticks on each end. And she got up and walked out the door of that church. That next night, Brother Webb, that pastor's wife got up and thanked God that that woman who was here last night isn't back again tonight in our church. When Brother Leon Buzzard told me that, I recognized something right then. You can drag your dress in the mud hole and look like a bride on the way to her wedding. But if you're not balanced, you don't have any more grace with God than a blue tick coon hound. There's a balance. I don't think our girls ought to look like streetwalkers. No. But I'm going to tell you something else. They ain't going to look like nuns. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. Why, bless God, they will or they won't sing in my church. You're right. And if you feel like that's a monumental accomplishment in your life, running off your next generation, then you just keep being stupid up there behind that pulpit. You just keep being silly. You just keep letting that ball bounce around between your ears where a brain was supposed to have formed. You just let that happen. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach a holiness gospel. And I'm going to preach a righteous standard. And I'm going to tell them, you live right here. And you live right out there. And raise your family in the house of God. And so we stand with both feet on the shore and our whole life is wrapped up in our house and our cars and our rod and reels and our beagles and our shotguns and any handguns you might want to talk to me about buying after church. We stand over on the land side. I'll take care of my wife, my family. Ain't I providing for you? Ain't I seeing to it for you? Ain't I? Yeah, you are. And that's just part of being married. You're not doing anything grand there. You're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're trying your best not to be a deadbeat. But we get on that side, and everything is the world, and everything is over here, and we forget that we ought to have a foot over here where the Bible is our God, and the Holy Ghost is upon us, and revival is in our heart. But then there's those that walk over here, and they think they're Peter. I'm going to walk on the water. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to detach my foot away from the shore, and I'm going to walk on the water. What happened to her? She blew in this door the other night, took over 3 night services, and we never did see her anymore. She drowned. With every communion service, we're going to have to start having life vests. She drowned. You hear me? Don't sit there and look at me like you're a theological giant. I know most of you guys, you can't even spell it. Listen, I'm telling you, we get over here and everything is church. And oh, glory. Our ladies had a... Is this really on the internet? Folks are hearing this. They ain't hearing none of this. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! You're sunk now. You sure? It ain't on the internet. Streaming live. Okay. We had a kook visit our church. And she, take a deep breath, men, and say hallelujah. Because there's a few kooks with skirts on, too. Yeah. Yeah. She visited our church. And I don't believe I've ever seen anybody as spiritual as she was. I never seen anything like it. When the ladies had their Christmas party out at one of the girls' houses. Christmas party. You know? Now listen. Our ladies put their brooms away at Halloween. They don't fly them no more. They were just out there having a Christmas party. Just a sweet get-together Christmas party. And it come up that one of them felt like singing a Christmas song. Now if that just knocks you out of the saddle, don't go to the North Pole, because Santa will not hire you. You like that? You like that? Somebody revive the man while I finish his service. 911 for the pastor. I'm telling you, they started singing and laughing and having a big time and exchanging gifts and all the rest of this stuff. She got up, walked outside in the frigid temperature, stood there trying to become the first woman icicle, hoping that she could be on the front of National Enquirer, no doubt. And when asked about her condition, she said, "That's just not spiritual enough for me." Now don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you that there's something about a life that makes themselves so miserable that church becomes a chore and serving God becomes a job and going to the house of God turns into something. And I'm telling you, we come to the door and it looks like we've just chewed up 14 railroad ties and we're picking them out of our teeth. Are you listening? That's not the way John saw it. He saw an angel, 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, and told us we can be balanced. Now listen, some of them other things I'd like to talk to you about. We'll let Brother and Sister Horton worry about them. And I'll pick them up again when I get over to Richland. So be there, Bubba. I got something else to tell you. But I'm going to tell you this right here. And right now, dragging your kids out of bed, sending them to church, and you laying up there at the house, sir, you ain't balanced. Telling your kids to get right with God, live right and do right, then you don't come down to the altar and pray with them when they're seeking God, you're not balanced. I'm not going to talk to you about the church that I'm squarely aware of, that if you popped in any other time of the year, you would find them worldly, dressed worldly, in a mannerism that would knock you right out of the ballpark. If you drop in camp meeting time, you're going to catch them. They're going to be looking right. They're going to be looking good. They're going to fizz and fray and push up and tie up and blow up and put balloons in there until everything looks like there's no change. But you catch them on a good Wednesday night in the middle of January. Now, you listening, you're not balanced. You're not balanced. You're not balanced. Walk into this church house, look like that you could work in any, I mean, you could be the poster child for the holiness messenger. They could put your picture up in the far left-hand corner, an epitome of what holiness looks like. And you get away from the house of God, and you get out in public, and you lose your standard, and you lose your modesty. You're not balanced. You're not balanced. You know that guy I was telling you about that taught me over to wear a necktie? Always wore a white shirt. You think I'm kidding you, don't you? He always wore a white shirt. Always. He didn't have a Christmas tree. But he always wore a white shirt. And anytime you pull up in Brother McClellan's driveway, if you caught him in the garden, he's in a white shirt. If you caught him mowing the yard, Brother McClellan, it's a nice white shirt you got on there. It's a nice white shirt you got on there. He wore a white shirt for everything. He may have wore it in the shower. I never did get that close to him to find out. But I'm telling you something. The man was balanced. Are you? The service that we had last night, that's not the only time you get in these services, is it? When folks is a shouting and a jumping up and down, you do know how to pray with tears and to seek the Lord with groanings that cannot be uttered, because that's part of being balanced. I'm telling you, we have a lot more quiet services at Calvary than we do rambunctious knock the window lights out. But you know the reason why we just keep a coming. I got a balanced church. They're balanced. Now, Father, Brother Webb really needed more than this for this last night. But I just absolutely have sat through these day and night services, and I've listened to the messages on the church. Then I heard Brother Barnett take us to the Old Testament and open a door and send the church out of the Old Testament up a ladder into the glories of God. Then I heard men anointed like Brother Suits that talk to us about the standard. And the standard always leans in a direction. Always leans in the direction of the tabernacle. The standard never leans another direction. And then I heard again in night services where the glory of God touched this place. Brother Blanton stepped up here behind this pulpit and brought the energy of the anointing of God in this place. And I recognize that for men like that with wives and families that are in tune with God, with the responsibility of their homes, here in this meeting, when he could have been someplace else, he cleared his schedule because he knew that the kiddos and the family needed to be in a meeting, in a camp meeting. Oh, God, we need to be balanced. We need to be balanced. We need to be balanced. Your heads are bowed and nobody's looking. I might have you, honey, come up here tonight and help me. I don't know. But I might. Have something on your heart. You already do. I know you do. You got to be balanced. You are not looking at a man tonight that is the poster child for balancing. Nope. And I say this with shame, but there are adverse afflictions in my body. And there are times that I have had to go through physical strain and physical torture in hospital beds and on operating tables. And because earlier in life, I did not learn the truth of the balance. I thought, blow your voice out, jump over the pulpit, give everything you got. If you have to go home and lay and hold your side to keep it from blowing out into your hand, or I always thought just getting up, giving it everything that you had, until they started cutting nodules off my vocal cords and shutting me down from speaking for months. One particular time, 7.5 weeks. Oh God, I am not the poster boy for balance. I'm not the poster boy for balance. We've been close to Niagara Falls. And it was just in later years of my ministry that I took the time to walk over there and see them with my wife. We've drove up and down interstates, close to that Biltmore mansion down there in North Carolina. And for years, my sweetheart has asked me, would you like to go there? Would you like to see that? And that, my friends, is what we did a couple of days just before we came here and started this meeting. I shouldn't have made her wait that long. I shouldn't have made her wait that long. Balance. I walk out of these pulpits, go back to the motel. My sweetheart, just get your clothes off. I'll hang them up. You lay down over here, and I'll take care of all that, and then hear her at 2 a.m. walking the floors, restless leg, and battling a migraine headache. I tell you, there's a balance. There is a balance. There's a balance. She's told me, Brother Randy, she's told me that I would enjoy going out there on the East Coast, going out there I can't even remember the little island, she said. But she's told me you'd love that. You would love that. And I tell you what, I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out. Because next year, I'll shake my head one too many times to some camp meetings. And we're going to go. Balance. You hear me? Balance. I quit riding in the patrol car so much. You know why? I was leaving her at home too much. Balance. It's at the place now where she asked me, won't you go ride? Balance. And so I'm asking you, and I really feel the Lord in this. I don't just bring stuff to this pulpit just to see if I can dig. I'm trying to help somebody. If there's a man in here tonight and you recognize that all your life is about your left foot and you haven't devoted any time to the right foot, all your life has been about your job and making money and seeing to your family and paying the interest and taking care of the car payments, and you've not recognized that you're the spiritual leader of your household and that the Word of God need not be a stranger in your lap at 10 o'clock at night. If you're in here and you recognize that there's things in your life that need to be better balanced, I'm making the altar call for you. I'm making the altar call for you, teenager. I'm making the altar call for you in the same way that I'm making the altar call to your mamas and to your dads and to your grandparents. I'm making an altar call to you older teenagers that are at that age now where dating and the revelation that you are going to step out of school one of these days and step into life. And if you don't have a balance, the reason we're doing our best to get you filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is there are spirits on the outside. You have to have the balance. And I'm making an altar call right now. And if this is not your idea of closing up this meeting, I apologize and I will try to balance myself the next time it ever happens. But right now I'm asking you, my eyes are closed and our eyes are closed and I'm not looking and you're not looking. And this is the best time of the night for you because it's just you and the stare of God. If you recognize there's a few areas of your life that need a better balance, I want you to slip out of that seat, Bring your wife with you if you feel like you should. Slip out of that chair. Bring your husband with you. You got children and you're not balancing your time and the spiritual thing. If I was anywhere in his house tonight and I recognized I didn't have one foot on the land and I didn't have one foot on the sea, I wouldn't walk out of this church tonight until I told God, I want to balance my righteousness. I want to balance my right. I want to be in this world, but I don't want to be of this world. I want to be the right kind of citizen, but I want to also be an ambassador for heaven. I'm telling you, you can live on both sides. And I thought I heard, it may be kids, it may be children, it may be teenagers. I have no idea. My eyes are closed, but I thought I heard somebody come in this direction. And I'm telling you, if I could hear the direction with my eyes shut of men and women, not wanting to point a finger at them, not trying to determine or isolate their particular case, just husbands and wives and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and twice removed and teenagers and boys that recognize that my whole life is wrapped up in my car and I need to wrap up part of my life in the Spirit. Or my whole life is wrapped up in the Spirit and I need to recognize I gotta be a citizen. I'm asking us in this room, if you feel like you need to spend some time with God and talk to Him about the balance of your life, it's why I preach this message. It's why another one of the reasons, 1/6, 1/5, 1 part, whatever, of the reason I'm out here in Virginia tonight to tell somebody, God wants you to be balanced. Balanced. Are you coming? Is everybody here that's going to be here? Is everybody up here that's going to be up here? And I got the next question. Is any of your parents up here, young folks, and you feel like you ought to slide in beside mom and dad? Or is there any children up here, any teenagers, young adults, that moms and dads ought to slide right in here? I'm telling you, there's a balance. There's a balance in how much you get involved in your children's marriages. There's a balance in how much you get involved in your children's lives. There's a balance in how much you wrap yourselves around the needs and the non-needs of your... I'm telling you, there's a balance. But when you get the balance right, God will see to it that you will have an enjoyable life.